I kind of had a choice at that point.
Not just being patient with the process, but being grateful with the process.
And I'm like, man, I went to my dad straight after the game. I'm like, yo, like this shit can't happen anymore, man. I always try to take the good out of any negative situation.
You know, I have players coming in, Xavier, and they'd be like, you know, I played so bad. You know, sometimes I'd be like, hey, bro, hey, I don't know, we can't do nothing about that. I can tell you what we can do, we can get some work in right now.
Like, if you're not doing plyometrics, you're losing out on a lot of potential for performance.
My dad had these tapes of the Laker game. I got to a point where I said, you know, I want to play basketball. And I just always wanted to make sure I had the edge over people.
It became a part of me, you know, I didn't want anybody to get to be better than me.
Welcome back to another episode of the Basketball and Barbells podcast. So today we actually have our first athlete on here. I know a lot of people have been messaging me on IG asking me to get some athletes on here. I had a bunch of athletes actually reach out to me, ask to get on here, and I'll get through those. But today we actually have a professional basketball player on here. Today we have Jordan Canada. So Jordan is actually a point guard for the Seattle Storm. She was drafted fifth overall in 2018 and actually ended up winning a championship in 2018. And most recently made the 2019 All-Defensive First Team. Jordan also comes from UCLA, where she was born and raised in LA. She graduated as the all-time UCLA and Pac-12 assist leader. She scored 1,800 points and dished out 700 assists, something that was only other done by Gary Payton. So thank you so much, Jordan, for coming on today. It's Christmas Eve, so you had anything else in the world you could have done, but you hopped on the podcast. So I just want to give you a thank you for coming on and joining the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on. This is a great opportunity.
Absolutely. So for people that are living under a rock, can you kind of go like more into like kind of like your childhood, like kind of coming up and stuff like that, like how you got into basketball? What was it kind of like growing up in the day of life of Jordan?
Yeah, so when I was younger, my dad used to tell me I was maybe like 2-3 years old. I can't remember this. He told me that I used to sit on the couch and actually watch the Lakers play with him. And okay. I don't recall that at all, but I used to watch games with him. And then at a certain point when I got older, maybe around 6 years old, my dad had these tapes of the Laker games, and I used to watch them on TV. I used to like purposefully put them in the DVD player and watch them, and I would just be so intrigued. And it got to a point where I said, you know, I want to play basketball, because also my cousins used to play in my grandmother's backyard, and they were guys, but they were much older than me, and I wanted to play so bad, and they would never let me play because I was younger, I was a girl, and they didn't want to get me hurt. So then I told my mom, I said, hey, I want to play basketball, like, can I do that? And she signed me up for this team called GBL. We played at Rancho Park, which is like right around the corner from Dorsey High School. And so I went to a practice, and I sucked. People don't believe me when I say that, but I was really bad. I couldn't dribble. I couldn't shoot. It was terrible, but I just loved being there, and I made a lot of friends. And so I wanted to keep going. And then from there, it kind of just took off, and I just stuck with it. And I've been playing ever since.
It's always like those stories. It's almost like those MJ stories where it's like, no way he got cut. It's like, oh, no way. No way Jordan wasn't good.
No, but... I was not good. There would be times in games where I would dribble, and then I would stop dribbling, and then I would just hold the ball, and I like crunch down, and everybody would be trying to get the ball from me. It was really bad. And my coach used to get on me about that all the time. She's like, if you're going to be the point guard, you can't be shy. You can't be that type of person and just pick up the ball and hold it and, you know, not know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And so my dad used to take me to the park, and he used to help me. He used to work on me with that. And then I just got better and better. I fell in love with the process of wanting to get better. So I practiced all the time, went to the park with my dad, was in the gym, working on my game any chance I got. And yeah, I just fell in love with the process.
Yeah, and then you learned that at a young age. I think even with me and a lot of us, like, we're so focused on like the end result that we don't really fall in love with the process, like you talked about, like the little things, the things that you don't notice, like the details. Like I think Kobe Bryant to me is like one of my favorite players of all time, but he, like, I've heard so many stories about him going to workouts, and the workouts are so boring because he's doing the same exact thing, but he's just the same thing. He's in love with the process of getting better at the basics and the fundamentals. And I think that's why, you know, a lot of professional athletes like are where they are, because they fell in love with that process. And especially you at a young age, like that's a major key. Do you feel like, kind of want to touch on this, do you feel like it was more of a confidence thing when you were playing and you weren't necessarily like playing how you felt like you should have?
It was probably a little bit of that, just because I was new to it and I didn't really know, you know, a lot about the game. I just knew that I loved being there because my friends were there and I thought it was an interesting sport, but I didn't really understand the game at that point. And so obviously I'm super young. I'm just thinking, I just want to go have fun, be with my friends and, you know, have a good time. And, you know, at that age, I mean, that's, you know, people expect that, parents expect that, a lot of, you know, adults expect you to just go out there and have fun. But I knew that at some point, this is what I really wanted to do. I love basketball. So in order for me to succeed at the next level or the next step, I knew that I had to focus on the details. And I concentrated on that. And then it kind of just happened from there. I mean, I started off, like I said before, I just started off wanting to just have fun. And then at a certain point, it hit me like, this is what I want to do. So let me take it seriously. And then I started training and getting in the gym. And I thought, I mean, people might think it's boring, like what Kobe does or whoever works out. But I think it's interesting. I think it's fun. Like, if you love the game, you got to love all aspects of the game.
Right.
And so I think I wasn't doing what Kobe was doing, but, you know, just practicing and training, like, that's something that I love to do. So that was my mindset at a young age, which is, you know, a lot of kids don't really necessarily have that, but that's okay. I mean, it develops at some point in time.
Right. And, you know, you talked about, like, you were doing it for fun at first. And then, you know, naturally you develop that passion, whereas you told yourself, I want to do this for the rest of my life. When did you start kind of feeling that feeling? Was it towards the end of middle school, high school, or was it earlier than that? Like, when did you start having that feeling of, okay, like, I'm gonna make this happen?
Probably, I want to say, this may sound crazy, but I want to say third grade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The reason why is because I've always played up. So the team that I play for, GBLA Rebels, we've always played up. So I was in third grade, but I was the youngest one on my team. I was playing with fifth graders, and we will always play sixth graders. Like, we were that good. I don't want to brag, but, you know, we were that good. And then we went to an AAU tournament in Florida, nationals, and we won it for the first time. And I think we got inducted to the Hall of Fame in Florida because we were beating every team by 25 plus points. I kid you not. This is serious. So at that point in third grade, I'm like, wow, I love this feeling. Like, I just won a national championship. I'm only in third grade. Like, this I love this feeling. And then from there, I was like, no, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to play basketball. And that might sound crazy, but that was the story. And then from there on out, I was just like, basketball is like the only sport I want to play, what I'm really focused on. I want to get to the WNBA. So then I started going to WNBA games. I started going to the Sparks games. And yeah, I watched basketball anytime I could, whether it be NBA, college, going to high school games. I was just so involved. I sound like a freak, but
nah, there's nothing wrong with it. I've never really, you know, heard at that young age where it was self-aware. Cause most of the time, as a performance coach or trainer, whatever people want to call me, we talk about early specialization. So whereas, like, parents put the kids in basketball at such a young age when they might not necessarily want to play at that young age. Like, you know, some kids want to play like soccer and baseball, whatever, tennis. And so at least a burnout over a long period of time, because they've been playing it so long that they just feel like they don't have the passion for it anymore. But for you, it's the opposite. So I think it's completely different when you want to do it for yourself. Like, nobody pushes you into it. You're just like, third grade, oh, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. Like, you came to that decision, so it's a lot different than if someone pushed you into it. So you don't sound crazy at all. Honestly, you sound like Kobe. Kobe was like, when he was 13, he talked about he developed the plan, like, I'm going to catch everybody in like 2 years or like 7 years. And he caught everybody in like a year and a half or so. So that doesn't sound crazy at all. Honestly, it's just I think that's dope.
Thank you. Yeah, my parents never forced me to play anything, to be quite honest with you. I did want to run track at one point, and I was like, no, this is too much running. So they took me out of track. And then I just stuck with basketball, but they've always been very supportive of me, and they've never really forced me to do anything when it came to sports. So when they knew I wanted to play basketball, they sacrificed a lot for me to play, traveling the games, taking me to games, and traveling all over the country when I had tournaments. So they've just been very supportive in the whole process of me playing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that support system, I like to ask people too, is like, you know, that support system, like how important is it? Which obviously it's important, but I was going to say, like, it's definitely for you, you've already touched on it. Like, it's an important part of anyone's journey. Like, whether it comes from, you know, five people or it comes from one person, it's just that base of support where someone believes in you and like they help you and they'll guide you. So, no, that's amazing that you have, you know, both your parents that are supporting you and would make those sacrifices for you, because I don't think I would have been here without my parents or the people that support me, my girlfriend, whoever. And I think it's the same thing for everyone. So, no, I'm glad that you touched on that without me having to ask that. So while I kind of want to transition a little bit more into like high school and then that transition to college. So high school, like your focus, what were your habits like kind of in high school? Like, obviously, like you've got studies and stuff like that, but what were some things you were doing that other players weren't doing at that age?
For me, I actually kind of struggled my freshman year. Believe it or not, I was late to practice most of the time. My assistant coach, Vanessa Nygaard at the time, she would always get on me about being late. And it wasn't necessarily like, you know, me not caring whether I was on time or not. It was just like I had, you know, so many other things and trying to balance school for the first, like school and sports. It was just hard. And so I think that was just like the number one thing, was trying to be on time and be a leader for my team at such a young age. And then once I kind of got into the hang of that, being consistent with that, it was my work ethic. I love training all the time, but it's a different type of game when you're hitting high school versus middle school. You're playing against older girls, you're playing against, you know, people of your talent level. So it was extremely hard. My work ethic was kind of inconsistent. So that was something that I really wanted to work on, was making sure every practice I was, whether to be the first in line for a drill or, you know, playing hard as much as possible, showing that effort, 100% effort, and then trying to grow my IQ. I think that's something that is missing, is the IQ of the game, really. I mean, people go out there and they, you know, they play because of their physical abilities and, you know, they're really good. But I think that I wanted to think the game more than just going out there and just playing off my instincts. I wanted to learn the game. So that was something that kind of made me different from everyone else, was being able to grow my IQ and working on my being consistent in my work ethic at that age.
Right. And I talk a lot about self-awareness. So if I say it a lot, my bad. But like you were aware at that age, like, okay, my work ethic isn't where it's supposed to be. Like, I'm late. You know, I think it's a little bit different. Like, at that age, like, I was kind of in the same boat. You know, obviously you went on to play pro, but I was, you know, late, same thing, like practice habits. But I wasn't necessarily aware of, okay, like, I need to make sure I fix these if I want to do the things at the next level. It was kind of just like, I'm just kind of going with the flow. So the fact that you knew that at that age and you're like, okay, like, I need to fix these things, to me, like, that made the difference, because, you know, you have to know that there's a problem in order to fix it. And then you spoke about IQ. Did you watch a lot of film? You know, obviously, like, in high school, coach is going to have you watch film. But did you watch that on your own in order to build that up? And obviously, you watch basketball. But, you know, how much did you dive into the IQ aspect of the basketball game in high school?
I didn't really, we watched film of each other, I mean, of us, but I never really watched individual film on me. What I learned about myself is that I can watch, you know, other games and be like, well, why did they do this? Why did they do that? So like I said before, I'm basketball fanatic. So I watched all games, college, pros. So I would just come home. I would just sit down and I would just watch NBA games or WNBA games. And I would just sit there and I would just be like, well, why did they do this? Why did they do that? Sometimes I replay stuff and then I watch it again. And then from there, I kind of used that, what I've learned and what I've been watching, and incorporated it in my game. And then when I did watch film of the team, like, I would see what I was doing wrong, how could I fix it? And then obviously the coaches, you know, they would give their insight as to, you know, how to see things differently and their perspective. So I just used whatever I could, all the information that I could from coaches, from watching the game, from watching myself and thinking that way.
Right. And even though you didn't say you watched a ton of film, like just on your for me, like just watching the games and then questioning, then rewinding it, like that's watching film in my opinion, because you're still dissecting it, kind of like, why they do that? Let me rewind it. Okay, he did, like, she did that. Okay. And you're kind of going back and forth. And so in my opinion, like, even though you know, you don't maybe watch individual film yourself, like, you just watching the game, but then trying to understand it and not just watching it just solely just because it's a game on, to me, like, that kind of helped make the difference. And then you took that with you into the film session. So I feel like at that age, like, to me, it's really interesting to hear, like, how deliberate and detailed you were at that age. Like, obviously from third grade when you decided you wanted to play this for the rest of your life, but then how that developed through high school, like, to me, like, now it's starting to paint a better picture. So no, I definitely see why you're a pro.
Thank you.
So you started developing these habits from high school, started learning these things. So going into college, like, that's a big, you know, it's a big jump. What were some things that, what were some qualities you kind of had to develop and some habits you had to develop in order to thrive at the collegiate level after leaving high school?
The biggest thing that I had to develop and learn going from high school to college is communication and being a leader, like an actual leader. In high school, you know, like, you didn't really have to say much to teammates because, you know, it's high school. It's not that, I mean, it's serious, but it's not that serious. Like, I didn't really develop that communication skill and leadership in that way when I was in high school. And so I'm very, very shy. Like, if you were to meet me in person, like, I wouldn't say a lot because I'm just very laid back and I don't say much. I'm very much of an introvert. So going into college, I had the opportunity to start right away and be a starting point guard. And that was very hard for me because obviously I had to be that leader. I had to be that person that communicated all the time and I didn't use my voice at all. And so that was something that I had to work on constantly, 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 because it was just trying to balance not only school, but learning a whole new system, learning a whole bunch of learning new teammates, coaching staff, and trying to and starting. Like, that's a lot of pressure on someone who's just coming into college trying to figure everything out. And also on top of that, trying to develop your game and improve, because like I said, like, every level, you're going to have to work on your game. It's always going to have to be based on work ethic. My work ethic was hard, but it was inconsistent still because, you know, you're learning something completely different. And that was just really hard for me. But the biggest adjustment that I had to make was my communication. My coaches would get on me about that all the time. About me not talking, about me not communicating. And honestly, defense was something that was very hard for me as well. Cause, you know, at this age, you're playing against 22-year-olds. You're playing against much stronger girls, faster, people that do have better IQ. Like, it's a lot that goes into it. And so defense was something that I struggled with too in the beginning. I couldn't play defense to save my life. it was a struggle. And so I had to fall in love with the process again because it was just so hard. But communication and defense was probably the two biggest adjustments that I had to focus on going into college.
Right. You were playing that Matador defense, that old lady defense.
Sometimes, I wouldn't play defense at all. My coach would get on me so bad.
Yeah, it's, when I talk to college coaches about, you know, incoming freshmen, the biggest thing I usually hear, I'll hear defense, like, but I always hear communication just because, like you said, like, you don't necessarily have to communicate that much in high school. Depending on where you play, some coaches may emphasize it if they come from, like, the collegiate area. But, yeah, I always hear that, like, yo, freshmen come in, they're so quiet. Like, they don't want to talk. And so, and then especially for you going in as a starting point guard, it's almost, yeah, it's a requirement. Like, hey, no, you have to talk. Like, you get thrown in the fire really early. And, yeah, I can only imagine that it was such a big learning curve. But I kind of want to touch on that. Is like, you had a lot to deal with, especially, you know, I get it, like, college athletics, like, you have study hall, you've got practice, you got weights, you got all these different things. And it's a lot. So I like talking a little bit more about the mental side as well. Were you, like, how did you kind of process, like, such a big change in everything? And how did you deal with, like, the stresses of college and then college athletics? You know, were you really big into meditation? Like, how were you able to take yourself away from the stresses of college life?
Well, I knew time management was going to be a big thing for me going into college with so much pressure and everything that I had to take care of off the court. So time management was just really huge for me. And also the biggest thing for me was I love being around friends and family. I think that's something that fills my cup and it takes, you know, some pressure off me and some relief and gives me a chance to relax. So anytime that I could do that, like, I kind of, you know, felt rejuvenated. And also my assistant coach at the time, she's still there, Coach Shannon Perry. She was my one of my mentors in college. And anytime I felt stressed or I was feeling too much, like it was just overwhelming, I would always go to her and I would just always talk to her about, you know, the problems that I was having, whether it be with basketball or outside of basketball. And, you know, she was always there to help me. And I felt safe. I felt comfortable because, you know, when you're playing for teams, you obviously want to be close to your coaches and you want to be able to communicate what's going on with you. And so she was able to help me through that and guide me through it. And then I had people off the court help me as well. My parents, I used to come home all the time whenever I got the chance, because I only live maybe about 15 to 20 minutes from UCLA. So I'm fairly close.
Oh, okay.
So whenever I had the chance to go home, I would always go home. And just being home felt like, you know, like I said, just rejuvenated me. So I was able to, you know, think things through and, you know, just be able to just put my life in order. And then, you know, as I got older, you know, I was able to handle more and more and more. So time management was big for me. And also knowing that I had the support system of my assistant coach and my friends and my family, you know, to help rejuvenate me. That was something that was really huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny. You said you live 15 minutes. So you was always at the crib. You're like, oh, we got tomorrow off?
Bet. Yeah. Every chance. Even during the week, because I just got a car, so I was able to drive home. So I was like, every day, whether we had a day off, I would go home the night before and spend the night at my house and then go to school. Like, I would always be over here every chance I got because I was just so used to it and I was comfortable. But as I got older, I kind of got over that. I was like, nah, I'm staying on campus. I'm staying where I'm at. I don't need to come home.
Well, mama was like, hey, you coming?
Yeah. Nah, I'm actually going to stay.
No, I got you. But I love the fact that you even pointed out that, you know, you had the support system. So whoever that is, you know, whether it's, like I said, one person or many, like, you had the system, you had people that you could go to that you felt comfortable. And then, like, time management to avoid feeling like the world's on your shoulders all the time. I think that's a big thing that I, you know, a lot of people have to learn that, especially me in college. And even now, like, I'm still learning as, you know, new things come up. Like, being able to understand, like, okay, like, do things when they need to get done in a timely manner, like, that people don't realize, like, how much of a stress reliever that is. And so I love the fact that you brought that up because I'm still learning it, but I think a lot of people can learn from that. And then just understanding that you have people in your corner, like, you know, open up to them. Like, please, like, have those conversations with them, because, you know, I think sometimes people think that, you know, especially athletes think they're superheroes, and they don't necessarily need to be. You know, everyone, it takes a village to raise a child. So at the end of the day, like, everyone's on the same team, you know, that's in your corner. So, like, please feel free to, like, you know, talk to them and open up and see what's kind of, like, some ideas they have, you know, if you're stressed out, because that's my biggest thing is making sure we're able to handle stress. Like, I stress people in the weight room, and then life stresses them. So we have to be able to manage that. And it's just, that's all it is. Life is stress management. So now I appreciate you answering that. Okay. So college, you're starting to get more traction. Like, obviously, like I talked about, you know, your awards, there's way more that you got. I didn't list them all. People that want to go see, they go look up her bio on WNBA.com. But basically, Jordan was killing it in college. So when did you start realizing that you could play in the pros? Like, what point in college?
I would say at the beginning of my sophomore year, I had the chance to go to play for the USA basketball team my freshman year. I mean, after my freshman year, playing for the university games. So I was, again, the youngest one on the team. I was the point guard, and we went to South Korea. And so I had to, you know, I'm like, well, I'm the youngest one on the team. I'm playing on a USA basketball team, very fortunate enough, because, you know, a lot of girls don't get that opportunity to represent your country and then be on a team full of stars from their own colleges and be a freshman when everyone else is a junior going into their senior year. So I knew at that point, I was like, if, you know, if I could do this, I know I could get to the pros. And so that was kind of a confidence booster for me, just being able to make that team. Because, you know, like I said, not a lot of girls are fortunate enough to be invited to USA basketball trials. And then let alone, it's even harder to make the team because you have to have certain qualities and, you know, to make that team. So I knew at that point, I was like, yeah, I can definitely make it to the pros.
Yeah, got you. And, you know, you can give a little chance to flex a little bit, but what qualities do you feel like help you make that USA team?
I think it has not just on the court, but I think it's mostly off the court, how I treated people. I'm very nice to everyone that I come across. Getting to the gym early, working on my game, talking to coaches, asking questions, being the first in drills. Things of that nature, and always talking, always communicating. Like I said, I had to develop that at my freshman year. So that was kind of helpful for me going into trials, being one of the point guards and trying to be a leader, using my voice, my defense. Those were some of the qualities that I thought kind of, you know, separated me from making the team. So I think those were it, but I think it has to do mostly with off the court, because that's a huge thing that, you know, maybe high schoolers don't really know, is that it's not just what you do on the court, it's what you do off the court that impresses a lot of people, whether it be coaches or adults or professional athletes. Like, it's how you treat people, your integrity, your character, because you could be a great basketball player, but have a bad attitude, and not a lot of coaches really look at players like that. So I really took that to heart, was making sure that whoever I came across, whether it be the committee of the USA basketball team or parents that were just watching, you know, always making sure that, you know, I'm acting a certain way, not necessarily saying I was faking it, but that's just who I am as a person, just making sure whoever I spoke to, I was well-mannered. So I think that was probably the biggest difference for me.
No, absolutely. And I tell people, you know, all the time, it's funny, like, you know, basketball and sports in general teaches life lessons. So who you are off the court, you know, it's not, you can't compartmentalize everything. So you can't just say like, oh, I'm nice on the court and then root off the court or vice versa. Like, who you are on the court, it carries over, it spills over to other areas of your life. So being a great leader, you could be a great leader on the court, and also it's going to help you be a great leader in life. So, and even just like talking to you before this and just kind of going back and forth, like I could tell like the way you even like carried yourself and handled and how you answered you know, even responded to me, I was surprised, but, you know, it was very, like, professional. It was very, like, hey, like, very helpful. And, yeah, it was just, I just think the biggest thing, like you said, people don't really realize is that it's a lot of off the court stuff that truly, truly matters. Because what you do on the court, like, that'll get you seen, but who you are off the court, that's what's going to get you the opportunity and keep that opportunity. So, no, I definitely agree with that. Okay, so going from college to the pros, like, you got drafted, you were fifth overall, 2018, and then you ended up winning a championship. What was that like? Like, obviously, like, you talked a little bit about it, but what was it like kind of going through that year, like your first year, and then all of a sudden you're in the finals and, you know, you're about to win this thing. Like, can you tell me a little bit about, like kind of like some of the things that you kind of went through that first year and then being in the finals and what that did for your confidence?
Yeah, believe it or not, I actually really struggled my rookie year because I was so fortunate enough throughout my career to, you know, have a starting position and, you know, be one of the superstars on teams. And then going into the pros, especially a very talented team like Seattle, playing behind Sue Bird, one of the best to ever do it in the WNBA. And then Breonna Stewart and Jewel Lloyd and even some of my other teammates, like having those superstars on the team. And then you come in and you're like, oh, well, where do I fit in? What is my role? Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily know where I stood. So I was just very up and down. And this is when, you know, my mental kind of came in because I just didn't know what to expect. I was nervous all the time. Like, I didn't know what was going on, like trying to learn different terminology and, you know, practice different habits. It was just really difficult for me. So when I would go in games, I would kind of not necessarily shut down, but I would just, you know, be a little bit timid. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just trying to, you know, make the coach happy and whatever. And then, you know, I played a lot, but not, you know, significant amount of minutes, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. So it was just a struggle. And I knew that what was gonna, you know, have me bounce back from, you know, the struggles of and the confidence, I knew that I just had to be consistent. And throughout the whole season, I was kind of like, you know, trying to find my place. And then when it got to the playoffs, that's when I really started to hit my stride. I kind of came into it and I kind of knew what to expect at that point. I was very familiar. I got more comfortable. And then my teammates were also there for me. You know, they were always encouraging me, no matter if I made a mistake or if I was playing good, they were always there and very supportive. And Sue was a big help in that. She will always help me. She will always be speaking to me. And yeah, when we hit playoffs, I kind of like hit my stride. I kind of got more confident and then later, the next thing you know, we wind up winning a championship, which is crazy. I was not expecting that in my first year ever. But when we were winning so much and, you know, we didn't really lose that many games, I was like, wow, like what if we do this? Like that would be super crazy. And then when it happened, I was just like, wow, like my rookie year, like we won. Like, it was just so crazy. I couldn't even put it into words because I was just like so taken back by the fact that I come in my first year and winning a ring and feeling like I had a help in that, you know, because, you know, sometimes people, rookies come in and they don't really play a lot or they don't play at all. And the fact that I just had the opportunity to play some of the time or play big minutes in the playoffs, I thought I contributed to that. So it just felt very good to just come in and win a ring my rookie year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's like, it's like you hit the lottery. It's almost like when AD won his NCAA championship and then went to Team USA and everything. It was like, it's like, bro, that's the best year you could have possibly had. And yeah, then with you, you getting drafted, you get winning a championship. That's crazy.
It's so crazy. And what makes it crazy is because the year before, I didn't necessarily watch Seattle a lot. But I knew that they, you know, they had a hard time the year before. And so not a lot of people expected, we were so talented, not a lot of people expected us to just out of nowhere. We had a whole different coaching staff. When I came in, it was Dan Hughes, who's our head coach. This was his first year. He was coming out of retirement. We had one new assistant coach and two new assistant coaches. So it was just like a completely different, you know, coaching staff and different team. And it was like how people didn't necessarily think, well, right off the bat, we're just going to come and win and dominate at that. Like, we were winning so many games. We only lost 8 games during the season. Well, actually, we lost, I want to say, we lost 2 games in playoffs. So technically, we really lost 6 games out of the whole season. In regular season, and then 2 in the playoffs. So it was like, wow, like, we're really out here dominating. Like, no one else has this record. We're the best team in the league. And to see a team with so much, to see a championship mindset team, I think that's what I learned the most in my rookie year, is seeing what a championship level team is like. And you don't necessarily see it in the moment until it happens, but the way we used to practice, the way we were so into the details of who we were playing, how we were going to play them. And, you know, Sue was a big help in that because, you know, she's been playing for almost 18 years. This will be her 18th season. So she's had so much experience, and she's a coach herself, like, just watching her in practice and see how she, you know, how she plays, how she talks to us, how she teaches the game. It's just so everyone was so involved. And I think that was really important for our team, because, you know, you may not get that with other professional teams, but everyone had a say. So everyone had their input, everyone was locked in, and everyone was all into what we were doing. And I think that's what made us so successful my rookie year. And to see that and witness that kind of helped me my sophomore year. And it kind of gave me the confidence that I needed to come into this season and do what I did.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then having someone like Sue Bird, you know, the GOAT, one of the GOAT, if not the GOAT, one of the GOATs, like, someone who's such a great leader, and then having, like you said, Breanna Stewart and everybody else around you, and then everyone having that voice, like, it's special when everyone feels like they're part of the team. All right, not necessarily, I don't think every team is created equal. I think at times, like, you will have, like, those leaders and obviously, like, you know, people that will stand out amongst the group. But to me, like, a real leader is, like, you know, having others, like, allow them to have those inputs and allow them to thrive and be the best at, you know, whatever role they get. And then everyone knowing their roles, like, okay, like, let's not get it twisted. Like, hey, look, this is what your job is, and I want you to be a star in that role. So you learning that at such a young age, you know, like, especially like your first year and winning that championship. And then, like you said, like, seeing everything that it took to win that championship, like that's so special. Cause going forward, now, you know, okay, like, this, like, the bar is set. Like, now, you know where you need to hit. Now you know where you need to go in order to get back to that point.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So, like, no, that's amazing. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about performance now. My big thing is always going to be recovery. So I talk to people, I talk to athletes all the time about recovery, even just everyday people. And I know it gets annoying when I bring it up. So I kind of want to get another voice talking about it. That way I'm not just, like, running my mouth all the time. So obviously at the professional level, you have to take care of your body. That's what's going to keep you in the game. You know, that's what's going to keep you on the court. How have you kind of adapted to the training schedule of the WNBA? And, like, how have you begun to implement kind of, like, your own routines, like, recovery routines and things like that?
Yeah, so the training schedule for WNBA, at least the way our team does it, our coach is very big on, you know, working hard in a small amount of time. So we don't work in the beginning. Maybe in training camp, we'll practice for, like, 3 hours. You know, it's very long, but the things that we do within practice, it's very short in increments. So it's not like we're doing a drill for like 20 minutes, like 5 to 7 minutes, and then we move on. We have water breaks, all that stuff. And then once season, you know, we get further into season, practice goes from 3 hours to maybe an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And then before then, you have like weights and treatment and stuff like that. And so for me, since when you do get in the pros, you have all this time, you actually become a professional. Like, no one's telling you, hey, you need to get in the weight room. Hey, you need to do rehab like mm-hmm. it is in college. Everything is on your own time. So you have to be disciplined enough to know that what you need to get taken care of, whether it be before or after practice. So that was the adjustment that I had to make. So I would usually get treatment in the morning, whatever that may be. It could be on whatever's feeling sore at that moment or whatever's bothering me. I get treatment on it. I do weights, go to practice. And then for recovery, I would I take the Normatec boots home. I don't know if a lot of people know what those are, but recovery boots, I would take them home every day and use them. I would ice all the time, making sure that I get some type of protein after practice. I don't necessarily do cold tub because, you know, I hate cold tub. I'm not gonna lie. And it doesn't work for everybody. So just making sure that I was, you know, taking the time out to actually spend a lot of time on my body. And then I will also get treatment afterwards. And then, you know, being a professional, you get certain, you know, resources. We had chances to get, we had masseuses, so we would get massages after practice. I'm sure colleges have that as well, but we had the opportunity to get that almost every day. So right. That was something that was a big adjustment for me because, you know, in college, like, I was just used to after practice, I used to go to class and that was that. I didn't really right. have time to, like, you know, take care of my body because I was, you know, under time restraints. So when I got to the pros, that was just something that, you know, I focused on more, was making sure that I was doing everything. And also my eating habits, I'm still working on that, but my eating habits had to change as well. I had to be more healthy, drink more water, making sure I was rolling out. Those were some of the things. I'm still working on it. It's really hard to adjust that when you've been doing it for so many years, but I have noticed a difference in my body. Like right now, since I'm not doing anything, I'm literally only drinking water. Like, that's all I've been doing, and it has been helping me in my recovery from my rehab and just my body. Like, I can tell the difference. So just little things like that.
Right. Absolutely. And you even touched on obviously nutrition. So I think what it is with basketball players, the fact that they think, oh, okay, like, we're running around all the time, like, we're burning so much energy that it doesn't really matter what we eat because we're going to burn that off. But it's more so not necessarily about, like, okay, you're just going to burn it off, but also for performance and then, like, even recovery. So the fact that you touched on that, like, you had to change the eating habits, is not necessarily just for, okay, yeah, like, I need energy in, energy out. It's quality energy in. And then when you're done, whatever, with weights or practice, like, you still have to recover from that because you're using up energy, but you're breaking your body down. And I think that's where a lot of people, a lot of athletes kind of miss that. They're like, okay, like, I just need energy to practice, but you also need something afterwards in order to recover for that, to maintain whatever, like, muscle mass or whatever have you. And I don't think they really understand, like, the importance of recovery just overall, because you're going to be practicing, you're going to have travel, you're going to have things going on in your day-to-day that you have to make sure you're at your peak for each game, each practice, because, like, especially when you're trying to win a championship, you have to be locked in, or else you're just going to be in the middle, average, or whatever have you. So I just kind of want to talk a little bit about sleep. So I'm always big on, like, harping on people not just get 8 hours of sleep, but to get 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep. So do you, can you tell me a little bit about your sleeping habits? Like, do you like, obviously you...
You're talking to the queen of sleep.
Okay, cool.
I love sleep. I take naps. I do all that. Even during season, I try to get at least 7-8 hours. We have so much free time, literally. Mm-hmm. So I literally wake up, go to practice, after practice, get some food or whatever. I take a nap. I wake up, watch some TV, do whatever I have to do, and then I go right back to sleep. And the day before, a day before a game, you know, I'll try and get 8 hours, 8 to 9 hours of sleep. Because we have shoot around so late. So it's not like I have to wake up super early and like at 8 o'clock in the morning. So even on game days, after shoot around, like I'll make sure to grab a bite to eat and then I'll take a nap. Like sleep is real. I love sleep. I can sleep all day if I wanted to. I think that is important. It helps me relax. It helps me calm down before games and just, you know, feel rejuvenated and fresh for a game rather than staying up the whole time. So I think sleep is very important.
Right. And it's also like, yeah, the quality, like I tell people, like, I'm glad you said it. It's not just me saying it, but like also like, yeah, like the quality. So like if you're like waking up in the middle of the night and then like you're on your phone for 2 hours and you go back to sleep, they're like, okay, well, if I sleep 4 hours on, take 2 hours, like I'm up, and then 4 hours again, it's like I slept 8 hours. It's like, well, no, and actually that's not how it works. It's also about like how long you're sleeping, like how deep of a sleep you're in, things like that, like having like a bedtime routine. It's little things like that that can actually make a big difference that I try to explain to athletes, but for whatever reason, they don't listen to me. So maybe they'll listen to you when they hear this. Like, look, sleep is very important. You're talking to an NBA champion. So look, you heard it from her. So
I didn't have these opportunities when I was younger. So I never understood till I got to this point, but it really is important. I probably was the same way when I was younger in high school, didn't listen, would sleep whenever. But then when I got to the pros, I realized how important it was, and not just with sleep, but with everything that I do, whether it be nutrition or practice habits, recovery habits. Like, you really are an adult and you really are a professional athlete. Like, no one's telling you you have to do this. No one's telling you you need to be here at this time. You're literally an adult. Like, even for nutrition, like in college, like you have pregame meals and you have something that's already there for you, and you have to show up at a certain time. Like in the pros, you have all the time in the world. Like you spend your own money. The only thing that you have to do is make sure you're on time for practice, on time for bus, on time for meetings. And, you know, that's basically it. Anything outside of that, like, you're on your own. And I remember my first road trip that I had my rookie year. I didn't really know what to expect on the road. I assumed that everything was like college, like, you know, you have pregame, you have dinner, and then you go on about your business. And then when I got off the bus, like, I remember our director of ops was like, okay, well, tomorrow is shooting around at 11, so I'll see you on the bus at, like, 10:50. And I was like, so we're free for the rest of the night? Like, it was 4:30. I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? And, like, one of my teammates was like, you're free. Like, you can do whatever you want. Like, you're an adult. Like, this is not college. Like, you go get your own food, you eat whatever you want. And at that point, I was like, wow. So maybe like the first couple times I was eating really bad because I was like, wow, I can eat whatever I want. Like, it doesn't matter. And then as I started getting deeper into season, and then I would start hanging out with my teammates more, and I saw the things that they were doing, I was like, oh, well, maybe I should do that. That's probably more helpful than me just, you know, eating whatever I want or staying up late. So, yeah, I started getting into the habit of making sure what I was eating before a game and what I was eating on game days was something healthy that would help me have a lot of energy, and making sure I was getting enough sleep. So it's very different in the pros. Like, you're not being babysat. Like, you're an adult. You take care of your business.
Exactly. Exactly. You're not, no babysitters. You're grown. You got to handle your business. So, you know, it's all on you. So, nah, that's definitely something that I think a lot of people miss as well. So, a couple more questions. I'm going to let you get out of here. I know it's Christmas Eve. I want you to enjoy your day. So, I saw on IG, it's funny, I was going through IG and I actually saw this. So, you sing. I didn't, is that something you've been doing your entire life? Is that like something that you just kind of like, you know, just kind of did, like just kind of here and there? And is the mixtape coming out?
Actually, I sing for myself. I don't usually like sing to people, or when people ask me to sing, I'm very shy. Like I told you in the beginning, like, it's very hard for me to like open up. So when I was younger, I did join my school choir when I was in middle school. I joined the school choir, and then from there, like, I never really like showcased my talent in singing, just because I, like I said, I'm just very shy. Mm-hmm. So now I'm trying to get outside my comfort zone, and my friends were like, well, you have a gift, you need to share it, like, you can't just waste it. So I'm getting into the mode of trying to showcase that I can sing and put it out there. Now, the mixtape, I don't know if that is in the works. I don't know if that's in the future. Who knows? But right now, I'm just trying to, like, be comfortable with actually putting my talent out there that I could sing, and being comfortable with that, because I don't really put it out there that much. A lot of people don't know, but and when they do find out, they ask me to sing. So it's kind of like, but this is,
yeah, that's so weird.
Exactly what I did not want. But in retrospect, I understand that, you know, if I have a talent, I need to showcase it. So just trying to work on that right now.
Yeah, that to me, that's always kind of weird when people are like, oh yeah, like I hear, like, I can't sing. But when I hear people say like, oh, you can sing, sing. It's like, what?
Yeah, like, no.
It don't work like that, bro. No, because I was just kind of going through your IG. And once I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, she can sing. So I was like looking around like, okay, well, maybe she has like, I don't know, like some more like footage of her singing, or like an EP out or something like that. But I wasn't sure. So I was like, all right, well, let me just ask. But no, nah. Like, I mean, Not even like gassing you up because you're on my show, but you have talent. Like, I honestly, I think, you know, if you decide to do anything with that, like, I think you absolutely can at least like hop on, throw some vocals on a Drake sample or something like that.
I would be very fortunate enough if that happened. I don't know. I'm contemplating on doing music a lot. I do love music. I love to listen to music. But in terms of like actually making my own music and doing that, like, I've been contemplating that a lot, so that could be a possibility down the line. But as of right now, I'm just like, you know what, let me just showcase it, do it for fun, and if an mm-hmm. opportunity presents itself, then, you know, I'll do it.
If that endorsement deal pop up, like, hey, you want to come sing this Christmas jingle?
Exactly.
No, I respect it. Same thing with me, not necessarily singing, but just being into music. It's funny that I haven't told anybody besides my girlfriend this, but like, I really was like into making music or learning how to do it, more so like producing music. Like, I'm always, if you like know anyone that knows me, when I listen to music, like, I'm trying to pick apart a beat. So I'm like, okay, like, these hi-hats, oh, okay, where'd you get this sample from? And I'll literally like watch like videos of producers like No ID and stuff like that, Timberland, like when they come up with beats, Kanye. And it's just, I don't know why, but it's just so, it's interesting to me because there's so much freedom and creativity, and I'm really big into that. So I always, you know, I tell, you know, my girlfriend, like, you know, hey, the mixtape's coming. That mixtape's coming. I don't know what's coming, but no, I'm the same exact way. Like, I've always, you know, been into music. I just, it was kind of low key, but then about like a year or two ago is when I really started like, okay, like, I want to learn how to make some beats. So it's on the low low. We might hop on a mixtape together. Might throw a beat on for you.
Yeah, I could definitely do that.
Cool, cool. All right, so last question, and then get you out of here. So I kind of went on your page and saw like the Pro Academy. So I kind of wanted to give that opportunity to you to kind of talk about the Pro Academy and what it is and what you're doing with that. So if you could, for everybody that's listening, you know, what is that and how did it kind of come to be?
Yeah, so Earl Watson is actually one of my mentors. I don't know if a lot of people know who Earl Watson is, but he played at UCLA and he played in the NBA for a lot of years. And so he kind of took me in, and I've my freshman year in college, and he's just been like my mentor ever since. And so we've kind of developed this relationship where he's really into, you know, giving back to the youth, and so am I. That's something that is really important to me. And so we came up with this idea called the Pro Academy, which is basically a professional training opportunity for youth and kids to come and learn from coaches and professional from me and Earl. Mm-hmm. we're still working out the kinks and stuff like that, but that's something that we want to do, be able to have kids from, I want to say, from 7 to 18 years old come in, get some workout done with professional coaches or professional trainers at a gym. And so that was something that we were kind of thinking is something that he's passionate about, something that I'm passionate about, and give opportunities to kids. Because like I said, when I was younger, I didn't really necessarily have the opportunity to learn from professionals, especially from women, because, you know, it's the way our season is set up and, you know, how we have to play year round and go overseas. You know, not a lot of people have the opportunity to come back and give back in that type of way. So I wanted to make sure that was something that was really important for me, to make sure I give a voice and spread my knowledge to kids, and same for Earl. So this is something that we're going to be doing, focusing on skill development and basketball identity, things of that nature. So we're still working on it. Hopefully it takes off sometime in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just thought this would be a great opportunity for young kids to come and learn from professionals.
Right. No, absolutely. And I love the fact that, you know, for those who don't know who Earl Watson is, please go look him up. But no, I love the fact that, you know, it's all about like giving back and helping those that are coming after us. Because like you talk about, we've been saying it the whole podcast, like not having certain opportunities that definitely could have helped us out in the long run. So, you know, I love it when pros give back those opportunities, like they make themselves available to the youth and things like that, because it gives a chance for them not only to interact with you, but to also see, you know, that you're, you know, the things that you're doing, that they're achievable and that you're actually a human being. I think at times when I was younger, I always saw like professional athletes, like they were like, you know, like almost like gods. Like I couldn't talk to them, like I would never see them. But then like I met a couple of them when I was younger, and it made things real. Like I don't know how to explain it, but it just made it seem like, okay, like maybe I can get in this kind of space. Maybe if not a professional athlete, maybe I can at least be around them. And so I think that's big. Even if they don't end up playing basketball, just interacting with them, maybe they decide to coach. And so I think it's really important. I think it's really great that you're doing that. You and Earl are doing all that for the youth. And so one thing I want to make sure I do is I'm definitely going to plug that into the show notes, like the website and everything like that. And then that way, like once everything is good to go and up and running, like people can still access that. It'll be in the show notes, like it'll be in the description. Just click the link, go there, and you can find all that information.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually one last question, it was actually hidden. I couldn't see it, but the last question, I promise. So what advice would you give yourself 3 years ago, and would that change anything today?
Ooh.
Yeah, I had to throw a curveball in.
What advice would I give myself? I would say, that's hard. I gotta think about this one.
Take your time. And trust me, everyone always gets stumped with this one.
Oh man. The thing that I would say for myself, I would tell myself, is don't get caught up on other people's success and results. I remember when I was younger, well, not younger, I guess, when I was in high school, I was one of the top athletes in the country, but I didn't really see myself as, you know, someone that a lot of people talked about, if you get what I'm saying. Like I was one of the top level talents, but I wasn't really talked about a lot. And the people that were talked about a lot, I always wonder, like, well, you know, why are they getting so much attention? You know, why am I not getting the same amount of attention? Like what's going on? And I was so focused on what other people were doing and the results that they were having and the success that I didn't really take the time to like look at the things that I've done. Even if they're not noticeable to the country and people don't notice, like what was more important to me was, now that I think about it, was the things that I did and the people that did notice and who and how that really mattered more than other people's success. So I would just say, like, focusing on myself and the success that I have rather than looking at someone else's, because that can become very detrimental, not only to your mental, but, you know, your physical abilities, your skill set, and feeling like, you know, you're not good enough and all those things. So just focusing on myself and the success that I've had and that I've accomplished, even though it's not known to the country, but something that's to be proud of what I've done. I think that's something I would tell myself if I was like 3 years younger or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of my favorite quotes that I actually got from Chop Wood, Carry Water. It's a book. Is that?
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, you read that? I've read that. By Joshua Metcalf.
Yep.
Yeah, he was actually our mental trainer at UCLA, and I actually have a relationship with Joshua. I would talk to him my junior and senior year at UCLA. So like, he was somebody that was like really important in my mental process at UCLA, and I still communicate with him till this day. But when you said Chop Carry Water, I was like, oh my God, I read that. We had to read that book in college, and I know the author. So that's really crazy.
Yeah, it's funny because like, that's one of like my favorite books too. So the fact that, the fact that you know him, that's dope. But then he worked with you guys. Like that's awesome. Yeah, Josh put out some amazing stuff, but especially like that book. So you already know I'm probably going to say like, the comparison is the thief of all joy.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, that's one of my favorite quotes that I got from that book, which is full of fire. People got to go read that book. But like that one for me, especially in this age of IG and like, you know, social media, like it's very, very easy to see everyone like post their quote unquote successes. And like, obviously, like, you know, I talk about this all the time, but I'm happy for everyone for being successful. But to me, like, that's not a realistic depiction of life. Like, there's going to be hurdles, there's going to be things that happen, and who knows how long it took for someone to get this picture, whether it's like, you know, a raise or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
People don't see that because it's very easy to just scroll through your phone and see like promotion, championship, like, you know, it's easy to see all these successes. And like you said, you compare yourself because you're seeing all these people. And if you're not within, like, you're not where you really want to be, it's very easy to kind of get caught up and say, like, damn, like, what am I missing? What am I doing wrong? And, you know, I love the fact that you said, like, you want to focus on what you're doing. Like, at the end of the day, like, you gotta run your own race. Like, you can't compare yourself to someone else's race because you don't know what they had to go through in their own race. Like, you don't know what the trials they had to go through, the setbacks. Like, you don't know the context of, you know, that success. The only thing we can do in our lives is focus on ourselves and focus on the successes for the people that are immediately around us and are affected by us. So, like, I love the fact that you brought that up because I think it's important that I'm still learning that. It's important that you are aware of it. And I think it's important that everyone just, you know, understands that it's okay, like, if you're not necessarily where you are, but just like you said, fall in love with that process and keep working. Because eventually, like Meek Mill said, you're going to be winning before you look up. So,
yeah,
like, it's always just important to just run your own race. So, no, I appreciate that. That's, you reminded me of that. So, I needed that. Cool. So, all right, I'm gonna let you get out of here, but I want people to be able to find you. So obviously, like, whatever information you want to give out. So how can people find you, Jordan, like social media or whatever, like if they want to reach out to you or maybe like your agent, like what kind of ways do you want people to find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. My Instagram is jcan, JAEECAN. And then for Twitter, it's just Jordan_Canada, first and last name. And my name is spelled with an I because some people still make that mistake of putting an A. So yeah, Jordan_Canada for Twitter and then jcan with two E's for Instagram.
And also make sure to tune in next season, Seattle Storm, please. Make sure you guys watch some games. Like, it's funny. I started watching the Storm. We both know, like, we talked about this earlier, but we both know the strength coach for the Seattle Storm. So I started watching the Storm when Emily got the job. Shout out to Emily if she listens to this. But yeah, like, no, for sure. I'm going to put those in the notes. That way people can find you. If for whatever reason, like, they want to reach out to you, like, that's up, you know, obviously, like, you can reach out to them or talk to them. But I want people to be able to find you, and I want people to understand, like, you know, this is, you're, like, a very down-to-earth person. You're not, like, someone that's just, like, oh, like, no, just go through my agent. Like, I reached out to Jordan myself. Obviously, like, I'm not going to try to, I want you to handle and not get, like, 1,000 different messages. But, yeah, absolutely. I want people to be able to find you. But, absolutely. So, thank you, Jordan. I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for your time today. I know you, like you said, you're rehabbing. It's Christmas Eve, so I want to make sure you can spend that time at home with your family. But yeah, I just want to say thank you to come on, giving all these insights and giving all this information for our listeners.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on, and I hope this was very helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, Jordan. And I hope you have a very good Christmas, and I'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Thank you for listening to the Basketball and Barbells podcast. I really hope you all got major value from today's episode. Please leave a rating and review of the show, and don't forget to tune into the next episode.